G.H. Bell was a stern disciplinarian, and this characteristic continually caused dissension between him and some students and parents. Others, such as D.W. Rivas, asserted that Professor Bell was no more severe in his discipline than he was required to be under the existing circumstances. Rivas recalled one day in rhetoric class when fellow Missourian Dan T. Jones, newly arrived at the college, was called upon to stand up and read a long paragraph. The slow-moving Jones began to search for the passage.
Mr. Jones is evidently asleep. Someone please awaken him.
No, sir, I'm not asleep. I'm hunting the paragraph.
Hunting? Hunting? Do people in Missouri hunt sitting down? Are you too weak to get up? Boost him, Brother Rivas. Boost him.
I did not appreciate your uncalled-for laughter in rhetoric class today, Rivas.
Oh, Jonesy, I didn't mean anything by it. Did you think it was so bad, Avery?
I thought it was brave, Rivas. No one else dared laugh. Professor Bell is strict, all right. Just ask Paul. Paul wishes there was never such a thing as a strap.
Oh, but Professor Bell isn't all strictness and discipline. He makes school fun in a way I never saw before.
That's true. Remember last week when he made us all laugh? Telling us how Montgomery and Arnold's attempt to take Quebec was foiled by mosquitoes. Hey, Jones?
Well, yeah, I do learn a lot here, and I suppose I'll get over the embarrassment. Just don't ever laugh at me again, Rivas.
Dan T. Jones later became president of the Missouri Conference, secretary of the General Conference, and a lifetime missionary to Mexico. Rivas claimed that Jones materially profited from his experience with Bell. Sidney Brownsberger, resistant to the idea of vocational instruction, resigned in the spring of 1881 as president of Battle Creek College. He was replaced in July by Dr. Alexander McClern, a former Baptist minister who had indicated a desire to join the SDA Church. Soon after James White's death in August, Ellen left for California, and General Conference President G.I. Butler often had to be away. In the absence of leadership, it wasn't long before conflicts arose between McClern and Bell. The first indication of trouble came at the August school board meeting.
Will the teacher's drill be offered immediately or later in the year?
Teacher's drill? What's that about, Brother Bell?
Why, Brother McClern, it's an 8-week institute designed to aid those wishing to teach in public schools. We started it last year, and it was a success.
Well, I fail to see the need of such an institute. Brother Stone, as a member of the faculty, what do you think of this teacher's drill, eh?
Well, in my opinion, it's not wise to take the faculty's time on this enterprise. We should focus our efforts on the men and women who come to pursue a full course of studies.
What? But the bulletin has already listed the teacher's drill as a permanent offering. It's a favorable advertisement for the school.
Well, I see no need for it. And I move we discontinue it.
I second the motion.
All in favor?
Aye.
Sides were soon drawn. Board Chairman Uriah Smith was such a fond parent, he found it difficult to discipline his children at all. Sided with Martha Amadon, Ransom Lockwood, and a number of the teachers who supported McClern against Bell. The board considered firing McClern. Accusations and counter-accusations flew at board meetings.
And furthermore, Dr. McClern has interfered in my department. He forced me to add a class against my will and better judgment.
Professor Bell has willfully misrepresented the words and actions that have passed between us. He has been harsh and ungentlemanly in his treatment of the students, and he has persecuted me by unprovoked slander.
Dr. McClern has tried to weaken the confidence of others in my character and in my teaching. He has curried favor with the students by relaxing the social rule.
Professor Bell is a man of low character.
wholly unfit to have any influence whatever in the school.
Well, do you not think such a sweeping statement excessive, Brother Miller?
Ha! Brother Miller is right. Professor Bell will destroy any man who has anything to do with him. Elder Smith, I demand an investigation.
Very well, Dr. McClern. I move that we ask all who have any charges against Professor Bell to present them in writing so that the whole matter may be considered in a conclusive manner.
The board had hoped to keep the investigation quiet and private, but the news got out. Many were called to testify, and feelings ran high in the school, church, and community. Bell was hissed by students, and his health suffered. Rumors abounded, and one of the local papers seized the opportunity to attack the college and everything it stood for. When the board finally took a vote, Bell was censured for harshness, and McClern for laxity in discipline. The actions were reported at a meeting on January 25, 1882. Both McClern and Bell were present.
Yes, Professor Bell. Do you wish to speak at this time?
I do, Brother Butler. I can only say that I accept the charge sustained against me, that I have been harsh and discourteous to students. And I hope in my future dealings with these young people to show by example that I heartily repent of this conduct.
Well, thank you, Brother Bell. The board accepts your apology.
Well, I don't accept any censure against me. The board's action is not justifiable. I have been attacked by all but Elder Uriah Smith, who voted against this action. I did what I thought was best for the school.
Brother McClern, please understand that the censure is only upon your actions. Your motives are not being questioned.
Well, if that's so...
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Yes, it's so.
Well, then I also accept the censure. And I ask your forgiveness for my heated expressions.
Given, Brother McClure, gladly given. Does the faculty accept the board's decisions?
Aye.
Any objections? It's unanimous.
But at a general meeting at the Tabernacle that night, McClern defended his actions and announced that the faculty rejected the board's decisions after all. The angry students sided with McClern. A few days later, three outspoken faculty members were asked to resign because of their opposition to the board's decisions. They refused to leave the school, however, and the beleaguered board did not insist. The crisis came on Friday afternoon, February 17th. Bell, walking up the stairs, heard someone stomping up behind him and turned to face McClern's son, Henry.
Mr. McClern, kindly explain your conduct in coming up the stairs in such a rude manner and stop this instant.
Ah! I'll show you what they think of you.
Stop pushing him! Stop it, I say! I'm losing my balance!
I'll show you. Hey! Let go of me! You're attacking me!
I'm merely holding your arm to stop you from pushing me down! You stop pushing and I'll let go!
Never, you old...
What's going on here?
He won't let go of my arm! Ha! Got away from you.
What have you to say for yourself, Professor Bell?
I was defending... Please, can hardly stand up.
What? You should know better than to assault a student. You, of all people, after the board has already censured you for exactly...
It was the last straw. Although McClern did later suspend his son, and the school expelled the boy, the humiliated Bell had had enough. He resigned. Whatever may be Brother Bell's faults, wrote Ellen White to the Battle Creek Church, your course is unjustifiable and unchristian. Stung by her criticism, Uriah Smith resigned from the board. The time came, however, when he asked for Bell's forgiveness. At the end of that 1881-1882 term, the board voted to temporarily close Battle Creek College. Alexander McLern left and later joined the Seventh-day Baptists. Though the situation looked bleak, it was not the end for Seventh-day Adventist education. Two new schools opened in 1882, and G.H. Bell was instrumental in founding one of them. Even before Battle Creek College closed its doors, Bell was back where he most loved to be, in the classroom.